Welcome to another segment of the Build Me a Brewery podcast. My name is Chris Hayton. Our last week's segment was about small business and accounting considerations. We now have a look at a very important and often very confusing topic when it comes to opening and running a brewery, and that is licensing and government compliance. This segment has been one that I've been very much looking forward to sharing with you all. It's a big jigsaw puzzle, the licensing and compliance elements of opening and running a brewery, as one of my guests in the segment simply states. And there are many pieces of that puzzle that can become daunting, time-consuming, and a very expensive exercise of unexpected and hidden costs if you have never trodden the path before. This segment tries to explain to you all the important considerations when dealing with all levels of government to get necessary licensing and approval you need to legally produce and sell beer. The three parts of this segment include discussions with a town planner, a liquor licensing professional, and an interesting chat with Mayor Darcy Byrne from the Inner West Council. In today's episode, which is part one of three for the licensing and government compliance segment, I sit down with Ben Tesserio from CPS Planning. I was put on to Ben from Glenn Wignall from The Grifter, who highly recommended Ben and his firm of experienced town planner services. They have a wealth of experience when it comes to assisting brewery owners with site selection, development applications, and navigating the often confusing steps in the planning and approval process of opening a brewery. So without further delay, let's get into part one of the segment with Ben Tesserio from CPS Planning. Welcome, Ben, to the Build Me a Brewery podcast. Thanks for coming on, mate.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks so much, Chris.
And how we got in contact, good friend Glenn Wignall from The Grifter, after sitting down with him a few weeks ago, he recommended you as a good person to come on the show and talk about the, the planning and council DA process, which is something that you're quite familiar with. You've got a decent portfolio of clients within that brewery space, and I thought that you coming on and explaining that in a bit of detail, our listeners would take a lot from it. I know I will, and it's probably the most cloudy or confusing thing in my business plan or the way I'm thinking about opening a brewery. It's an area that's probably a gap in my learning, which I think is probably a gap in a lot of people's learning when they're starting out building a brewery. And we were talking off air and you said that unless you've trodden this path before, it's probably going to be very foreign and unknown to you. So really want to dive into explaining what everyone needs to know, the important considerations and the services a town planner offers as well. So, but before we get into all that, tell us a bit more about yourself, career background, maybe some craft beer related stories and why you've got a bit of a passion for it. Take it away, mate.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Well, look, my career background is a town planner. I've been working as a town planner now for around about 20 years, maybe a bit longer. Started off originally working for local government, so have experience working as a development assessment officer, assessing development applications coming in on behalf of what was Pittwater Council at the time, which is a local government here in Sydney, New South Wales, but now forms part of the Northern Beaches Council. Soon after that, I had a few different roles in private sector and state government, but for the past 12 years, I've been the director of CPS Planning, a town planning consultancy that myself and my business partner started, and we provide consultancy services to all manner of developers in the private sector, but also equally still have a lot of work which we do to providing development assessment services on behalf of local council. So we keep one foot on each side of the fence, so to speak. We, a good chunk of our time still spent assessing development applications on behalf of councils across the state. And then on the other side, we're proponents for development applications ourselves. Invariably, we end up providing a lot of advice to, all sectors, including state government, on all matters town planning related. The benefit of the broad range of work that we do is we have a good understanding of things on both sides. And so far as craft brewing, we our office was originally based in Newtown. So at that point in time, we were probably the closest town planning consultancy to, you know, quite a lot of, you know, craft breweries, which were starting up in that Marrickville scene about 5 or 6 years ago. And we're fortunate enough to, you know, start working with the Grifter. And then through the success we had with their operation and word of mouth, we've now gone on to assist about, I don't know, 15 to 20 breweries and distilleries across New South Wales with their development consents, you know, site selection, due diligence, help them out with liquor licensing applications and approvals and expansion plans and all that sort of thing, which I was quite happy to work with those guys because I'm a fond of craft beers. I've been a beer drinker for a long time, and even my early days back in the late 90s, I remember my mates and I would come into, you know, the city, and the only place where we could, you know, find beer that was outside of your, you know, your standard commercial stuff was at the Lord Nelson, where we used to get stuck into
great pub,
Three Sheets and Old Admiral and those types of beers. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, but things have changed a lot since then. There's a lot more variety out there, and yeah, I'm happy to be, you know, working with a bunch of brewers, and, you know, feel like in some way responsible for increasing the amount of venues and variety that the rest of us punters can consume.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a thing that I'm considering, and like I was saying, the thing that seems the most daunting is dealing with council, is what, you know, I've been led to believe. But I've also been given the impressions by others that it shouldn't be as daunting if they engage someone like a town planner like yourself, which essentially is something that you would be able to assist aspiring brewery owners going down that path of, you know, navigating the many different loopholes and regulations and back and forth that you would have. And so, yeah, really want to dive into, I guess, what you guys do and how you can assist, and breaking down all the different sequential steps of what it takes to go through the development application process for an aspiring brewery. You mentioned that you dealt with some breweries, or large percentage of your breweries that you've dealt with here in Sydney or inner west. I think off air you were mentioning you've done interstate as well, so your services aren't just bound to Sydney or New South Wales?
No. I mean, our office is based here in Sydney, so it's natural that, you know, a lot of the work we do is local to an extent. But that said, you know, our consulting services have extended to all parts of New South Wales and interstate as well. So for breweries, the work we've done for breweries has been in mostly in Sydney, but we have done quite a lot of regional breweries as well in the Blue Mountains, Newcastle Hunter area, and in southern New South Wales. The brewery work that we do here only makes up a very small component of what, you know, CPS does as a town planning consultancy. And like most of the work we do is, you know, residential developments or, you know, commercial and large-scale industrial developments, that type of thing. And that means that we do work interstate. So we have a good familiarity with the planning system across, you know, all states and territories within New South Wales. I mean, sorry, within Australia. But, yeah, it's just the brewery work that we've done has been sort of mostly in the last 5 years, and it's tended to be the word of mouth that's sort of spread around the brewery scene here in New South Wales.
Okay. And why should – Glenn was the one that was actually encouraging on a – previous episode in the Meet the Brewer series, he was a big endorser of engaging a town planner when doing the planning process with council for the brewery. I guess question for you, why should an aspiring brewery owner engage someone like a town planner?
Look, it's a complicated process, you know, obtaining development consent and licensing approvals. Look, it's not something that only I can do. I mean, plenty of people decide to take on the role of, you know, doing their due diligence on site selection, you know, obtaining development consent from council, construction approval, and their licensing approvals themselves. But invariably, you know, the feedback we get is that when they do try to do that, it takes a lot longer. Time is money, particularly in a, you know, business that's looking to set themselves up. And I think the ability to be able to, you know, shave months or years perhaps off that time frame by coming to someone like us, it can be a great benefit. The other thing is that, like, we've had plenty of people that have come to us after the fact. So after they've gone and got development consent and their brewery's up and running, and then they're finding they're having problems with neighbour complaints or problems with council, breathing down their neck, or Liquor and Gaming breathing down their neck. And sometimes that can be attributed to poor site selection in the first place, or picking a development that was never really going to work in that location. And that's some of the things that we can avoid, by advising on, prospective brewers in the early set, of their endeavour as to, is this site appropriate for what they want to do, now and into the future, or they're likely going to have growing pains, when that, if the success sort of follows following opening up the brewery. So, yeah, look, I think that's where we can be most of benefit. We've got a clear path and a well-trodden path that we've, repeatedly done now, that can sort of get you from, the early concepts through site selection, development consent and licensing approval in the quickest time possible. And the quicker that you do it, you will save, money in the long run, having to prepare, perhaps less reports to convince council that what you're doing is appropriate on a particular site, holding costs, we've got plenty of people that have come to us who've signed up sort of for a lease, say, for example, on a property, but then haven't been able to commit in a certain time frame and had that lease fall over and, be subject to penalties and all that sort of thing. So, a lot of those time attributed costs and direct costs associated with, consultants, and that can be minimised through, coming through us and, going through a well-trodden process of getting that consent in the quickest time possible.
Mm. And at what stage should an aspiring brewery owner call upon someone like yourself, a town planner? I hear a lot of the advice from other brewery owners is find your location first, but that's something that you can assist with as well, isn't it? So you can guide people as to what areas that would be favourable for a brewery to open up, or should someone... I've been told that the zoning for a brewery, typically in Sydney, that is light industrial. Mm. But there can be some co-zoning allowances where, there might be a retail and an industrial sort of combination. I'm not sure, you might be able to correct me, but should someone have a location picked out first and then engage someone like yourselves, or would engage in a town planner before that process, assisting with the location selection and then going through the process of the planning? Yeah, talk us through that.
Yeah, so I think that the very first step is you need to understand what type of brewery you're looking to open. Is it primarily a production facility that has a ancillary tasting bar? Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, well, then you're going to be focused more on industrial type zonings, which align with the, principally production component of your business. If it's a brewery that you're looking to open that's more a pub, first and foremost, and the brewing is ancillary to the principal purpose of the place as a pub, well, then you may be looking at more commercial type zonings. But you can't really have one of those types of facilities in the other zoning, so to speak. So if it's a pub, it's not going to be an industrial area. That's not going to fly with council. And similarly, if it's an industrial activity, it's not going to fly in a town centre commercial type precinct. That's also not going to fly with council or your neighbours or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So if you've got a good understanding of what type of brewery you want to open, then we can start narrowing down the location. Mm-hmm. So to come to me with a location first may, be jumping a step ahead.
Yep.
So ideally I like it when those brewers come to me from the very beginning and say, look, this is the type of brewery I want. It's a pub first and foremost, and the brewing's ancillary to it. And I'm like, right, so we're looking at sort of this particular zoning, which is a commercial town centre type zoning. We're looking for places where pubs are permitted, and let's start looking at some potential sites. And then over to them to start looking at sites within a particular location. I might provide them with a map showing these are the areas that you should target. And then then feed the sites through to me to either knock out for one reason or another because of maybe constrained or impacted or subject to some sort of planning provisions that prevent them from doing what they want to do. And then once we've got that site locked down and I'm confident that it will deliver the brewery that they're intending to set up, then we can start, you know, putting everything behind that site in terms of preparation of plans and documents and whatnot, and identifying whether it's a development consent we require from council,
yep,
or whether it can be achieved through some other planning pathway. So that's quite important to know, is that, you know, it's not in every circumstance that DA will absolutely be necessary, and there are ways to avoid obtaining council consent and getting consent from private certifiers if the property that you're looking at ticks all the boxes for the type of brewery that you're wanting to establish. And if that's the case, well, then we can use what's called complying development in New South Wales, which is a fast-track planning approval system to perhaps gain consent for what you want to do.
So concept is key to, you know, that's something that someone or some business partners can sit down, work out what they want to be, then come to someone like yourself and you'll then start guiding them through the process of finding a location.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. And, you know, we worked with a brewery, you know, quite recently within the last 12 months in the Blue Mountains, where that was exactly what happened. And it was a very smooth, fast approval process for them because we were able to be involved from the very outset with a good understanding of exactly what type of brewery that they were trying to establish and really, you know, nut down those areas which were most appropriate for them to carry it out.
Okay. Are you able to walk us through, I guess, all the sequential steps that are required during the development application process? And is it just in New South Wales it's referred to as that? Is there other states call it something else?
Look, let's just call it development consent. So development, we're not sort consent of like using terminology from any particular state. But,
yep,
you know, it's essentially the same thing. And, you know, the planning system does differ from state to state in Australia. But generally the concepts of planning that we have certain areas within our cities allocated for industrial uses, commercial uses and all the rest of it stays the same. The principles of planning and your impacts on people and the environment around you is still the same, and it's a matter for consideration no matter what state you're in. It's just that the technical process changes a little, but the sequence of, you know, that you need to map out for yourself, or the sequence that you need to travel from concept to opening, still remains largely the same.
Yeah. Okay. Well, are you able to talk us through what those steps are from concept to opening and maybe get a bit of context around each?
Okay. So I touched on it just before. So the very first step is concept. So once yourself as a brewer has got an idea of the type of brewery that you want to open, it's the next step is to, I believe, approach a town planner and talk to them about that, and then talk to them about site selection. So we've gone from concept to site selection. So that site selection is very important because zoning comes into consideration, the specific planning controls that apply to, you know, different areas, and, you know, that those rules and regulations change depending on what local government area you're in, anywhere in Australia. So that process of site selection is, I guess, the second step. The third step is development consent, and development consent can take a number of different pathways, but let's presume for the most part it's going to require consent from your local council. The third step is construction certification. The fourth step is obtaining occupation approval, occupation certificate, and then there's liquor licensing. Now, unfortunately, there's a sequential arrangement to that process that avoids any overlap, or so that prevents any overlap. And it's the same whether you're proposing a brewery or developing a house or, you know, carrying out any other type of work that requires consent. There's that still that process of site selection and the due diligence in locking down that site that needs to occur. There's a development consent, which is a conceptual approval for what you wanted to do. There's construction approval, which follows that. There's the occupation approval, which says that you've constructed in accordance with your development consent. And there's a liquor licensing approval, which occurs at a state level rather than a local government level.
Yep.
So if I was to walk you through those steps a little bit further, I won't go over concept again because that's something that needs to happen internally with each brewer. But the site selection, as I mentioned, is important because we've got to find a site that ticks all the boxes for what it is that you want to do with regard to zoning, with regard to the planning controls. We need to look at each individual site on its own merits and see whether does it provide sufficient parking? Is it going to impact on my neighbours when I open a brewery by virtue of noise or emissions or anything else, you know? And we need to test the sensitivity of the adjoining properties to each of those things. If we're confident that you're proposing an appropriate land use for a site that isn't going to contravene any of the planning provisions and isn't going to result in an undue impact on neighbours, then I think we can move past that step into preparing what's necessary for development consent.
Yep.
Now, if that site that you've selected already has a physical building on it and you only need to carry out internal modifications, then the documentation that you may need to prepare for development consent will be a lot less than someone who's got a greenfield site that's looking to erect a new building, or someone who's looking at doing significant alterations and additions to their building to accommodate their brewery. In those circumstances, you're going to need surveys of the land, you're going to need drafting of plans by an architect or a drafter at least. You're most likely going to need advice from BCA consultants, and that's the Building Code of Australia, which is a set of national guidelines which govern things like, you know, toilet facilities, you know, food facilities, doorway widths, accessibility for people with disabilities, all those sorts of things, entry, exit, egress from the building and whatnot. So there's a lot that needs to be considered there, and there's a lot of potentially hidden costs there in trying to retrofit old buildings to comply with new standards, which is what needs to occur when you're looking to move into a building and use it for a new purpose. You may need the advice of a traffic and parking engineer if the parking provision on site isn't sufficient to comply with council's planning controls. You might need, and you often need, acoustic assessments if patron noise or noise from the activity of the premises is going to impact on nearby residential or other types of sensitive receivers. If you're looking to land, if the site needs landscaping, you might need the services of a landscape architect. And these are all things that council require as minimum documentation to accompany a development application. You know, if you're in another state, a planning permit, perhaps if you're in Victoria. So, and that documentation carries with it significant costs, and you know, it's, you want to have a, in that early site selection process, you want to, you know, make sure that you're choosing a site that's not going to, you know, put you into too much debt with commitments to, you know, that type of work that needs to happen to make a building fit for purpose as a brewery. Once you've got all that documentation together, then it's a matter of handing it over the counter with council and seeking their development consent. And then with development consent, the assessment of such comes neighbour notification, which people get to object to if they've got any problems with what you're proposing. Sometimes that requires you to provide additional information to satisfy concerns council or neighbours might have. But the end result, hopefully, is a determination, which is an approval for your brewery, and a determination which carries with it a list of consent conditions for which your brewery has to operate. Now, a town planner will help navigate that whole process and help ensure that any conditions that council impose on your development consent are not onerous, that are limited so that they don't prevent you from, you know, carrying out the business the way that you have intended on site. And to a degree, a lot of that should be known if you've picked the right site. You know, an example might be if you've picked the wrong site, you might get that far down the track and find that council's imposed a noise condition on you or imposes some hours of operation type condition on you, which means that your brewery can only operate certain times or is subject to certain noise constraints, which might be very hard to achieve because, you know, you picked a site that was too close to someone's residence or you picked a site that was too close to, you know, a TAFE, technical college, where kids are, or students are studying of an evening, and the noise from your brewery might impact on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm talking about direct examples that I've been involved with here where that's occurred. So I've jumped back there. I've gone back to talk about site selection, but the reason being is that in getting that final development consent, we want a nice, clean consent that doesn't have you trying to operate a brewery 1 a.m. time behind your back. And presumably if we get to that point, you know, it's time to crack open a beer because we've got through probably the one of the hardest steps and now it's about carrying out the construction of it. And as a town planner, we hand over, you know, the project typically at that point. We're not really involved with the construction and fit out of the premises other than to assist with any questions that might come up along the way. And sometimes, and this has happened plenty of times, you might find yourself halfway through building the thing and go, oh, geez, we didn't account for that. We're going to have to go amend our plans. And, you know, that requires another consent from council, what's called usually a modification application, to modify your plans to account for that change. And that's an instance where we might be involved post that original development consent period, aside from providing general advice like I mentioned earlier. At that point in time, you know, in New South Wales at least, the certification of that construction process, so the critical stage inspections that occur at different points throughout the fit out and construction, is typically managed by a private certifier. So that would mean, you know, you can avoid going back to council at that point. And once construction is finished, there's the issuing of what's called an occupation certificate here in New South Wales. It's got different names in different states, which says basically that everything's finished. It's been built according to the national codes and Australian standards, and it's consistent with the original development consent, and it's okay to open your doors for trading. Now, the other step in the process, which is obviously a licensing approval, which I understand you may have had someone give you some advice on that previously, that is the one step that can happen concurrently, but typically you can't get a licensing approval until you've got development consent. So once that development consent comes from council, it opens the door for the licensing authority to issue a license to enable you to produce or sell alcohol from premises. And, you know, that process typically takes 120 days here in New South Wales. There's a bit of a backlog and they've got a statutory period that they usually try to adhere to, which is that 120 days. But you can lodge that concurrently with your application for development consent.
Right.
It's just that you can't get approval to that until you've got your development consent. So yeah, that's perhaps the one thing that you can
run parallel.
Yeah. Okay. And what I usually would recommend is you hold off until you get a feel from council whether they're likely to support this thing. And when you've got that confidence that you're on track for an approval, then you lob it in your liquor licensing application at that point in time. So that's I guess a tip there for, you know, one point where you can, you know, run things parallel.
Well, I guess you've got to take advantage of any time-saving sort of tricks where possible, I guess.
Yeah, no, you're right. And that's a good one, because you don't want to throw your doors open to your brewery but not have any beer to sell. So, that's the one thing you can overlap. But, yeah, look, I hope that's a a decent summary of the,
it is,
the points.
It is, yeah. No, it's like I said, I've heard many different terms and parts of the process being thrown around, but I guess no one's been able to really piece it together in a chronological order. And, you know, so what you're saying, there's three main steps to concept to opening.
Yeah, well, look, let's put the concept aside from the brewer. You've got site selection.
Yep.
Development consent, and then I guess construction licensing.
Construction licensing, yeah.
So we can probably wrap those together.
Yeah. Okay. And in your experience of working with, what was it, 15 breweries, you know, you mentioned there was a direct example with TAFE, an overlooked thing there with a noise conditions. But what are some of the most overlooked things, or I guess things that I guess people never consider when going through this process with local council or from concept to opening? I've heard people talk about wastewater treatment not being considered, stormwater drains, and, you know, like you said, the social environmental impacts seem to come up from time to time. But what are some of the most overlooked ones that you've heard of or come across?
Look, I think the most overlooked is, I think, and this is when people have come to us when they've hit a snag. So they've got halfway through the process and they've just hit a wall, you know, they can't seem to get through some issue that council have raised, or they've got their consent and they've opened up, but they're, you know, subject to all these conditions and constraints, and it's really inhibiting them carrying out the business to the way that they'd like to do it. And I think the biggest issue is, I put it back to that site selection. It's so critical. If you've got the right site, all the rest kind of falls into place.
Yeah.
So when going out to look at your ideal brewery, I mean, you might walk into a building and go, wow, look at this place, look at its, you know, huge ceilings and all the old architectural features, historic architectural features of this place. It's going to make a fantastic brewery in here, and I can picture my bar over here, and I can picture, you know, the seating area over here, and I can picture a deck over there, and it all seems fantastic. But you're only looking within the building yourself. You're not stopping to take a look at what's around you, and that's equally as, or even more important, I guess, because what council are looking at is what impact you're going to have on your surrounds. And so you have to get a really good understanding of what surrounds you, not just in a land use context, but from a planning context in terms of zoning, planning controls and all the rest of it, and have a good understanding of how well what you're proposing is going to fit into your neighbourhood now and into the future. And if you can say that what I've got proposed on this site is a perfect fit for everyone around me, then you've paved your way through the whole process, rather than sort of set up hurdles for yourself along the way to have to overcome. And the direct examples I sort of gave you before, like say with noise and not being aware that, you know, a lot of breweries are quite noisy. You know, you've got, you know, forklifts running, you've got, you know, trucks, suppliers coming and going. When that finishes and your bar opens up, you've got noise from patrons. And so, you know, it can be a lot of time throughout the day where noise is being generated from your site, from early in the morning till midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning. And that may not just be appropriate for the site you're selecting. It could be other things. You know, you mentioned the stormwater. Yes, if you're looking to do alterations and additions to a building which expand upon it and you're creating additional runoff from your site, well, then there may be hidden costs there associated with on-site detention, you know, and all that sort of stuff, which you just don't, you know, perceive. The other real big one I talked about is these fantastic old buildings that make wonderful breweries and make it wonderful to sit inside and have a beer within. We're never built for that purpose, and we're built, you know, maybe a long time ago under standards which are vastly different from today. And while that building might have been fit for purpose as a manufacturing facility or church or whatever it may be, when you adaptively reuse that building for a new purpose, you're triggering compliance with current building provisions, and those current building provisions do take into consideration things like I said before, accessibility for people with disabilities. They take into consideration emergency egress, and they take into consideration sanitary facilities, depending on the number of people that you've got there. They take into consideration fire safety, and retrofitting an old building to satisfy all those provisions can be really expensive. Similarly, if that old building that you're looking at has got heritage significance and is nominated as such by planning controls, well then your ideas of knocking out walls and doing that sort of thing may be, you know, put to a halt by council's heritage officer who says, no, that wall has heritage significance and it's not coming down. So, yeah, I mean, they're some of the things that, you know, the pitfalls that I've, you know, seen from other brewers, and I think that, you know, as I said, can be avoided, you know, from good site selection in the first place and having a good understanding of what you're up for if you want to pursue that particular site.
And from your experience, what has been some of the what are some of the expected timeframes for going through this process? I know it would vary each application and each brewery, aspiring brewery owner, but you know, what are some of the shorter timeframes that you've seen with some brewery applications and some of the longer ones? Like, can you give us a bit of an idea of what those timeframes look like?
Yeah, sure. So you're right, there is a huge degree of variance, and the variance comes about because not every brewer is looking to do the same type of brewery. As I said before, some are looking to do a new build, some are looking to do fit out of an existing brewery, and some are looking to do so just move into a space that can be, you know, set up quite quickly. And the level of assessment that council need to give to each one of those varies. What also varies is each local government area and each local government area's capacity to deal with a development application at any particular time. So there's a huge variance there. But you want to, the quickest we probably ever dealt with one would be 6 months from go to woe. And that's from the point of preparing a development application, having identified the site, to getting that occupation certificate and license to enable you to commence. The longest, I'd say 18 months. But I've heard stories of people who have taken a lot longer than that. But that's through, you know, the 15 to 20 that we've been involved with.
Yeah. Well, you know, that gives people an idea of what they're up against. And, you know, I think it was the Grifter Boys who said that theirs was done within 6 months or just after, or maybe I'm mishearing what Glenn mentioned there, but theirs was fairly quick from memory.
Yeah, look, theirs was quite quick. We mapped out a specific pathway for them to get things open as quickly as possible. They didn't have to build anything. They moved into an existing space. What they did have to build was just sort of like, you know, tidbits to, you know, facilitate their operation, but it was all internal. You know, it was an existing facility in an existing industrial estate. So that's an example where, you know, you can shave a lot of time off.
So their site selection was pretty good.
Yeah, they had issues with their site. I mean, someone told me once, and this is not just for brewing, but in planning generally, there's no such thing as a vanilla site. And I think what they were saying there is that every site has got its own inherent issues and constraints. But they picked a good site in the sense that there wasn't a lot that they had to overcome to get to where they needed to be. And what they did have to overcome, although there's probably some unforeseen costs there, because that they came to us with that site already locked in, we weren't part of the site selection for them. So there were some hidden costs there, but you know, I think it's safe to say that any site's going to have something associated with it that has to be overcome. But you know, the getting us involved in that early stage helps you get an understanding of what those things are and what the costs are of overcoming those things. Like, is it relocating a fire hydrant 50 metres because, you know, what you're proposing to do is too far for the fire truck's hose to reach? And you think, oh, why would I have to be subject to this all of a sudden? Well, it's because the building that you're in is 50 years old and, you know, you're the first guy to come along that wants to do something new in that building. So, you know, you're the one that bears the cost of, you know, bringing it up to spec. And if those fire safety upgrades require a hydrant moved and the cost of doing that is tens of thousands of dollars, well, that's a decision you have to make if you want to pursue that site. So knowing that up front is a good thing. I don't know if Glenn mentioned it to you, but that was one of the constraints that they had to overcome
Their
site.
Yeah, because I think theirs was an old laundromat or laundry facility.
Yeah, so. I think it was an old laundromat. Mm. It had been so for a long time. And, you know, and a lot of these premises that you see or that we see, the people that are in there at the moment may not be in there lawfully. So the question is like, oh, why should I have to be subject to all this expense and cost of having to upgrade the building? Why not the guy before me? And, well, the guy before you, he may not have been in there. If he's a laundromat, he might have just moved in and started operating his laundromat business, and he might have been operating his laundromat business for 10 years and neither council nor anyone's raised any issue with it, and, you know, he's just gotten away with it. But it's more difficult to get away with it or anything when you're making alcohol and selling alcohol from premises that requires liquor licence, and liquor licence requires development consent, and you have to be able to demonstrate that development consent. So there's no, you know, hiding, you know, with that process. It's all out there on display. Yeah.
So Ben, what would be some of the typical costs involved for using a town planner through the DA process?
Yeah, so the costs, you know, we break it down into stages. So those stages align with the steps which I've outlined earlier in the podcast. So stage one, site selection, usually we put out there an upper limit fee or an envisaged fee that we expect, and that may be somewhere in the order of $3,000 to $4,000, and it'll depend on the amount of sites that get thrown our way to investigate, right? And usually for that fee, we might investigate 2 to 3 sites, and that would involve us canvassing all the relevant planning controls, going out to the site, having a look at its context and surrounds, perhaps having initial discussions with council, and making sure that we've got a good preliminary planning assessment carried out that says to you, that site's good to go, or, you know, if we quickly find that it's not suitable, you know, we'll let you know and, you know, move on. So, you know, it's hard for us to put a fixed fee on that because some brewers are looking for pubs in difficult locations, you know, for example, where there's a lot of other licensed premises or where there's, you know, sensitive land uses around, that sort of thing. And it can take longer, and we have to veto more sites before we find a suitable one. And then the fee might change. But, you know, I guess it's a good guide for most people out there. You know, if we're having to look at, you know, in the order of 3 sites, you'd be looking at a fee of about $3,000 to $4,000. The aim of, as I said from earlier, the aim of that is to pick a good site, which will then minimise our costs associated with the DA. Because CPS or the town planner is familiar with the site already and has set themselves up to deal with it in the DA process, and it should bring down that stage two, which is your DA fee. Your DA fee for us at that point in time might be, depending on, it really does depend on the size of your brewery, the number of patrons you're looking to have in there, and, you know, and that sort of thing. And whether the amount of physical works that might be occurring, you know, is it simply an adaptive reuse of an existing building or a new building? But a gauge there should be a fee of around $5,000 to $10,000 to get you a development consent from council. At that point in time, like I mentioned earlier, we largely hand over because the construction of the brewery is managed by a private certifier. We would only be involved if there's a modification that's needed to the plans which have been previously approved.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that gives us a, I guess, a good sort of indication of what the costs are. And like I said, it is difficult to sort of put a fixed fee on it. It is very circumstantial, but, you know, a lot of people listening to the podcast are probably going to be formulating some ideas around what their budget's going to be. So it's always good to sort of have an idea of what they're up against. But moving into industry insights and talking off air, you mentioned that there is some interesting changes, potential changes within, you know, the way local councils perceive DA process versus private certification. You mentioned that earlier. We didn't go into a lot of detail, but do you want to talk a bit more about that?
Yeah, so, and this is talking probably New South Wales brewers who are interested in opening a brewery in New South Wales, but at least in this state, yeah, we do have a number of different avenues to obtain development consent. The two which brewers would be interested in is development, which is called complying development, which is a fast-tracked approval process that can be done through private certification. The other is local development, which requires development approval from your local council.
So pretty much the bread and butter of what you've just explained.
Yeah, and for some people out there familiar with the terms, one's called CDC, Compliant Development Certificate, and the other one's called DA. And so CDCs are the private certification, DA is the local government approval. So at the moment, most breweries will probably find themselves in a situation whereby they have to get development consent through council. It's just the way the planning controls are set up at the moment. You'll find that most of them are going to be heading down that path. The reason why most of them head down that path is because the state government legislation, which dictates which path you need to take for the brewery which you're proposing, says that you have to go down that path. Now, we recently have been lobbying state government on behalf of the Inner West Brewers Association to make changes to that legislation. And look, it seems to be getting some support from state government. And if successful, that change in the legislation will mean that more breweries would be able to use that private certification process than having to do a DA. And, you know, what we're talking about there is huge, I guess, time savings. In a DA, as I mentioned earlier, from our experiences, can be as little as 6 months from go to woe, but can be as much as 18 months if complications arise. Whereas the private certification, insofar as time for which you lodge the application and to the time at which it's approved, typically happens within about 21 days.
Wow, what a difference.
Yeah, yeah. So there's still the documentation requirements in terms of putting together plans for what you're proposing to do and all that sort of stuff. But the benefit of private certification is it's a building and construction approval all in one, that once you've got that certificate, that compliant development certificate, you can get work underway. It doesn't include neighbour notification, so there's no opportunity for neighbours to object to what you're proposing to do. There's no council involvement. Council simply get notified that the private certifier has issued a consent for the brewery on that site, and it goes on council record. So it really is a really fast-track process. But that it's fast-tracked because there's a number of boxes which are ticked, you know, and if you tick all those boxes and you comply with the compliant development provisions, then away you go, and you got that approval within 20 days. If you can't tick all those boxes, then it's a DA for you. You probably find, I think, if these changes were successful, 50% of your brewers may be able to do it as compliant development, and 50% of your brewers might have to still go lodge a DA if what they're wanting to do is bigger or beyond what those compliant development provisions set out. So, yeah, look, it's something to keep an eye on, and it's It's with state government at the moment, but, you know, hopefully within the coming weeks or months we'll have a decision on whether they're willing to support that proposal. And the early feedback that we get from the Inner West Brewers Association is that it's been looked upon quite favourably by state government, particularly with regard to COVID impacts recently and the government looking at ways to help businesses and stimulate new activity in that.
Excellent. And what is the – so it's sitting with state government right now. What's the name of the – is this the correct term, the bill or legislation?
Oh, look, the
just for people to maybe look
into.
Yeah,
the legislation is the State Environmental Planning Policy Exempt and Compliant Development Code of 2008. Now, that code, although it's from 2008, it gets updated regularly, and it's the same code that allows certain people to build a dwelling house on their land without going to council. It's the same code which now allows people to do, you know, dual occupancies on their land without going to council. It's the same code which allows, like, a warehouse to operate from a factory building without going to council. But in each of those circumstances, so long as you meet a number of set pre-qualified standards. And it's only if you fall out of those standards that you have to go to council and get approval. Now, currently, breweries are struck out from that. So other types of light industries, like a, you know,
mechanical
workshop, yep, or whatever, they can use those provisions if they tick all the boxes. Breweries, there's no boxes for you to even tick. You're explicitly ruled out. And when I say breweries, but they're referred to in that document as artisan food and drink industries. So artisan food and drink industries, whether you're a brewery, a distiller, whether you're a cheese making, you know, craft cheese industry, you're struck out from those provisions. So it's what we're trying to do is remove artisan food and drink industries from being struck out of that legislation, which would therefore mean that you can take advantage of its provisions that apply to all other types of light industries. So a brewery that's principally a production facility but then has an ancillary tasting bar, like a lot of the venues, you know, in the Inner West, for example, have got, a lot of the breweries that I'm familiar with, that's the model that they run, they would qualify as what's called an artisan food and drink industry. And if you tick all those boxes, well, then theoretically that those changes should mean that it can be carried out as a compliant development, meaning that, you know, they need to go get a DA from council. So it's, you know, quite promising.
Well, yeah, I do hope that does pass, because I guess that will shave a lot of time for people in their planning of the brewery, and I'd imagine there'd be some definite cost-saving advantages as well.
Yeah, well, the time savings in itself means there's a lot of cost savings, because the holding costs of premises and the documentation requirements that council require, and just the risk as well. I mean, you're taking a lot of the planning risk out of the equation, because you're not subject to neighbour notification, for which people can object to. You're not subject to, you know, the myriad of, you know, council officers that like to assess these things once you put an application over the council. So, yeah, that risk profile is reduced, and, you know, your costs are reduced as well because of the time saving and documentation requirements that you're not subject to.
Hmm. Well, Ben, absolutely blew my mind, all the content you've shown with us, and I'm sure a lot of listeners will take a lot from there, and I've had a lot of people reach out to me since the, I guess, start of this podcast. Is, you know, they're really looking forward to this segment, because it is an area of the process that is very foreign to them, and, you know, you've helped piece a lot of those things for those listeners, including myself. So really appreciate you coming on and sharing, over an hour of your time, and yes, the industry insights as well. That CDC aspect sounds very promising. I hope something comes out of it. So I guess maybe I'll try find, maybe if you're able to send me some link or that maybe talks a little bit more detail, and people can, I can maybe put that in the show notes or something, but or I'll look that up myself. But before we sign off, any closing thoughts and advice that you'd like to share or part ways with?
Look, mate, I think I've done a bit of a brain dump on you today.
There's
not much left I can really say other than, you're right, it is a complicated process that not a lot of people are familiar with. I mean, if people have, built their own home or, done large alterations, additions to their house or, been involved in other businesses that require council approval, they'll probably have some familiarity with the process and just know how much of a pain it can be to, get an approval for these things. And unfortunately, breweries are one of the more difficult things to try and get consent for because, there is that extra level of scrutiny that's applied to anything where there's alcohol being produced and sold. Council do put the microscope on these types of applications. So, we're here to help and, but that said, I think, anyone with, town planning experience could, help people out, other areas of the country or the world, which, we aren't working in.
Well, I'd like to, take this opportunity or allow you to take this opportunity and plug your services. Well, you've already shown your worth in people engaging you in terms of your knowledge of the planning process, but I guess where can people, if they are interested in contacting you for advice and maybe engaging your services, how do they get in touch?
Yep. So they're probably best to get in touch with me directly. So I'm here at CPS, which is a town planning consultancy based here in Surry Hills. Contact number is 8039 7461. My email address is ben.tesoriero, spelled TESOREERO, at cpsplanning.com.au. You shoot me an email directly, then, I'll be able to get in touch with you and, help you out with any questions you've got or, there's 16 planners here in this office and we all have worked on, the breweries that I've been involved with. So, there's a good wealth of knowledge amongst the office to help people out.
Yeah, well, I have a feeling that you're going to get flooded with a whole heap of aspiring brewery owners wanting to seek your services, mate. But, everyone, that was Ben Tesoriero from CPS Planning.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Build Me a Brewery podcast. That was part one of the licensing and government compliance segment. Part two and three of the segment is live now, where I sit down with Russell Steele from RSA Liquor Professionals, talking about the various types of licenses required for opening and operating a brewery. And I also have an interesting chat with Mayor Darcy Byrne, who has been a contributing figure in the recent rise of the craft beer scene in Sydney's inner west. As always, if you are liking the podcast so far and find the content useful, please give us a follow and rating on whatever platform you're listening on. Also, follow us on all our social media handles as well as visiting our website, www.buildmeabrewery.com.au. And much more complimentary content will be coming your way if you sign up to our mailing list. I'm Chris Hayton, your host, and this is the Build Me a Brewery podcast.